Welcome back. This is Mike Proctor hosting another episode of Real Wealth Podcast, sponsored by Leading Edge Financial Planning. Today we have the John Olsey, who is with Hope Ranch for Women here in Kansas. So he is the executive director. He was hired into that role, the first executive director for the organization. They were officially founded in about 2015 and had their first residence about 2019. And it's a really, it's a phenomenal organization that I'm excited to share with all of you today and make you aware of it if you aren't already aware of what Hope Ranch does, how they are changing lives here in the community, how they are saving women, people for actually primarily women, only women,
yes,
from right. human trafficking here in Kansas. And it's been in the news, but Kansas is unfortunately a contributing state. An originating state for human trafficking. And today we get to hear from John and hear some of the wisdom he's picked up along the way, hear about Hope Ranch and more about their mission. So welcome on, John.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here with you and just to be able to share more and raise awareness as to the reality of the awfulness of human trafficking and sexual exploitation in this area. And really everywhere in the U.S. and around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I'm not sure exactly how it compares because I'm not in that. Well, that doesn't even sound right in the industry. I'm not in that side of the work of things, but I know every country has their own problems. Even though we're a developed country, we still very much have our own problems here. So, John, would you mind just sharing a little bit about maybe your background, how you got plugged in with Hope Ranch, and what that has looked like for you?
Yeah, so I've been a pastor pretty much my whole adult life and have engaged in church ministry and various leadership roles from a youth pastor to a lead pastor in churches the size of 50 up to 15,000. So I've been in a wide variety of leadership positions there. And then about 4 years ago, God just made it very clear that he was saying, I want you to take a different direction and move into a different role. And so I stepped into this position at Hope Ranch as the executive director. And it's been just been a great learning experience and a great opportunity to just further grow in leadership. Kathy Turner was the founder of Hope Ranch, and she was stepping out of, she was kind of doing a duplicate or a double role of both being serving on the board, trying to run and lead this growing, fledgling organization as it was getting started. And then also she was pastoring as well full time. And so it just became overwhelming for her to do all of that. And so she made the decision to continue to serve in the church that she's at and serve on the board. And then they sought to hire an executive director, and grateful that God had that for me in mind, and so grateful to be leading in that role in that capacity.
Yeah, and ever since you've taken over, it seems like it's grown quite a bit. You have an annual banquet. We just participated in the golf tournament.
Right.
You've brought in some really big names. You had the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who a lot of the locals know here, before he became Secretary of State and CIA Director. And what other roles did he fill?
Yeah.
Some
big national roles. Yeah. He and his wife came and spoke, Susan Pompeo. And so right. That was just a great evening.
Thanks for correcting me on that. They both were here and Susan was the speaker.
Right.
To keep the record straight.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was great. Great to, you know, to have both of them here. Great just to, you know, be around them and hear their heart, you know, and their passion for this country and their passion for helping women as well. So that was really good. And then last year we had Governor Huckabee from the state of Arkansas, governor. And then this year we're really excited on September 7th for our banquet with Tim Tebow coming in as our keynote speaker. So we're really excited for that evening. It's going to be at the Wichita Union Stockyards. Folks can go to our website, which is hr4w.org. w.com. HR, the number four, w.com. They can purchase tickets there. We're looking for corporate sponsors. Obviously, when we bring in somebody of the caliber of Tim Tebow, the cost has gone up. And so we are really looking for corporate sponsors like Leading Edge. Grateful for you guys sponsoring us for the past couple of years and sponsoring us again this year. So
yeah, we're so excited to be involved and be a part of your mission. And you know, it takes money. Actually, I was blown away when I learned how much money it took to provide what is needed when somebody comes out of being trafficked.
Yeah, well, when you realize that, you know, we're looking at 24/7 care for these women because, you know, the average woman caught in trafficking, this is just an international statistic, has been raped 6,000 times. 6,000 times. And so the level of care that is needed to help these women walk from that horror and that trauma that they've experienced to finding freedom and hope and peace is just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we help them we have two different programs. We have a residential program, and that can take 18 months to 2 years or so for a woman to walk through that program. We help them through the night terrors that they experience. We help them with the physical needs because they, you know, they don't have insurance, they don't have any money. So we help get them connected with doctors and get their vision and their ears and hearing and, you know, everything, get them on a healthy track that way. And we help them to pursue their GED or further education, help them to understand what it means to experience financial freedom and how to manage their finances, how to even cook, and you know, just every aspect of life that we often would take for granted because we just grew up that way. Well, they haven't, you know. We had a woman who came through our program, and she was walking by our office and looked into the office and saw a dog kennel because we have a dog for therapy. And when she saw the dog kennel, she fell into a seizure. And it turned out, we found out, of course, we got her treated, taken care of, you know, and everything, but then found out afterwards through further counseling that for a period of 5 months, when she was not out doing tricks, her pimp was keeping her in a dog kennel. And so, you know, it's those types of realities and stories that we just hear one after another, and it just is horrific. But it helps us to understand that we work not with a ton of women, but with a smaller amount of women who have a ton of difficult issues to process
right.
and work through.
So you said 6,000 times yes. on average. So I recently got remarried, and Stephanie's a marriage and family therapist. Now she's helping, you know, folks that are kind of everyday struggles from our childhood or, you know, relationship that is not even touching the scale of that. And that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, I'm a counselor as well by my training and background. And it is just, it's been one of those growth things for me to understand, again, the level of trauma and the amount of work that will need to go to helping them not fully recover, because I don't think they ever will until heaven. I mean, I don't think you and I are ever going to be fully, you know,
sure.
we're still going to struggle with issues and problems, and we're still going to sin and so forth until heaven. But to be able to help these women experience enough healing and enough help that they can experience freedom and move forward with their life. We have a gal who just recently graduated from our program last month, and she is now living in another state, working at a Christian camp for the summer, and got a full ride scholarship to a Christian college. And so we're excited for her. She said, "John, I want to major in elementary education because I know what it's like to be a kid and be misunderstood and not heard by teachers who just didn't know what to do." I mean, they weren't bad teachers. They just didn't know what to do to help her. And so just grateful for the healing that has happened in her life.
So this work that you're doing, changing lives, not just like a little bit, but a new lease on life completely. It's incredible. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around how many women are out there that actually need this and how difficult it is to deliver it. Can you talk about what, I guess, maybe the scale and the vision for Hope Ranch looking forward of where you see the organization going? And if you wouldn't mind commenting on that.
So I've talked a little bit about the residential program that we have. We also have a community program, and we're working with a dozen or 15 or so women who are either not able to go to the residential program because they have children or are not sure that they want to leave the lifestyle that they're in or the relationships that they're in to find healing and hope. And so we're working with them as well and trying to help them to understand the bondage that they're under and the horrors that they're experiencing, because sometimes they don't even realize that they are being trafficked. What they think is normal. Well, this is just, I needed a place to stay, and so I'm doing this so I can have a place to stay. But what we are trying to do is, regardless of whether it's in the residential program or the community program, is to walk alongside these women and help them to find healing and hope. All right. So our dream for the future, we would love to, further help more and more women. I mean, there was I had a couple of meetings with the vice squad, the sergeant of the vice squad, and I asked one time, what could we do as an organization to best help you? His response was build an emergency shelter. He said, if you built an emergency shelter, a place where when we do a raid at 2 a.m, a place where we could send the women then, and that they could get, some healing and hope. If you could build a place like that, we could give you 50 women a year. And I'm just going, holy cow, 50 more women that could find healing and hope and a way out of the trauma that they are experiencing and find a new way to live and a new life. That would be incredible. We'd love to do that. But of course, that costs money, a lot of it. And so, we just want to do everything we can to help more women, whether that's, we've had a waiting list a couple times this year for our residential program. First time that we've had that ever, as far as I know. We'd love to help more women, but we would need more, open up another residence, but that would, again, be more money. It all comes back down to, we would love to help more and more women in the future as God provides the money and the resources for us to do that.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about the politics side or the advocating side on support, what that looks like. Are there any government programs that provide anything along the lines of what you guys do?
Well, we're grateful that we have received a grant from the state of Kansas. In fact, this is July 1 will be the next fiscal year, and we're grateful that this will be the third year that we've received that grant. And so I've been up to Topeka multiple times each year, speaking with legislators and subcommittees, just encouraging them to further, push and further seek to do whatever is possible to help stop the darkness of the trafficking that is taking place.
Right. So they're partnering with you, you're getting grant funds from the state. Are there any state originated programs that are doing the level of care what Hope Ranch is doing or along the same lines in any way?
Not that I am aware of. There are other nonprofits like ours, in the state and in the country that are doing this, but I'm not aware of any state agencies that are doing this.
Okay. So this is the way that the state's partnering, at least with what's already going on.
Sure.
So they don't have to stand up their own organization, at least for the time being. They're not doing that, but they are partnering with tax dollars. Okay. Well, that is great news. And to any legislators or anybody else who's able to vote on that, I'd encourage, additional support. Because this has to be just a drop in the bucket of what the need is.
That it you're is, able to absolutely.
Fill the need.
Right. Yeah, there are so many, so many more women who are hurting and suffering that need the help that we can provide. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about maybe, and this podcast is naturally going to take a little different turn because not this is the first nonprofit I've had on that deals in this space and might be the only one, who knows, but it naturally is going to take a little bit different turn here. But I am curious, what has it done for your view on life? Because one of the things we always try to talk about is what does it look like to live the best life possible with the time we have left from your perspective? Yeah. And I have to imagine that's changed since you got involved.
Yeah. So, one of the things when I was looking for a new position, before, I knew of Hope Ranch, was I said, God, I pray that you would open up an opportunity for me that is, that provides impact for eternity. And I think that that's the important thing that we need to look at with our life. The phrase, you can't take it with you, you can't. The money that you acquire, when you die, it's not going anywhere. I mean, the reality is that the only thing that we can do that will last will be the impact that we can have on another person. And as a faith person, hopefully helping people to come and find Jesus. Because I firmly believe that there is more to this life, and that is heaven. And heaven really is home. And the older I get, the more I believe that is true, because I'm getting older. And so, it just, the things that I thought would bring happiness just don't satisfy. And the only thing that is going to satisfy is heaven and home. So for me, the big thing is, what can I do with the time that I have left with this life to help other people find healing, find hope, and find faith in Christ?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm amazed at what you guys are able to do, because you're taking and ministering. So in James 1 talks about watching after orphans and widows. And I don't know if they're necessarily orphans or widows in per se exactly, but I think they fit the meaning of what that's talking about. But you're taking ministry, you're taking dollars, you're taking care of people who probably are susceptible to the most screwed up version of what God is from their life experience up to that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, a recent study came out by Dr. Gene Allert that 47%, so almost 50%, almost half, 47% of all minor trafficking is the result of a familial pimp. So almost half of all trafficking to minors today is the result of a dad, mom, aunt, uncle, brother, sister who was serving as that person's pimp. I mean, it just is mind-blowing to think of the horrificness of what is going on. And in fact, I remember sitting with a volunteer who said, John, I have sat in my car on South Broadway here in Wichita. Main Street goes north and south right through Wichita. And she said, John, I've sat in my car and watched out the passenger window of my car as a woman that I'm building a relationship with to help her to find healing and hope. And I saw her get into a car to do a trick. And she said, then I looked out the driver's side window of my car and I saw that prostitute's pimp in his car with that prostitute's child. And I know that the pimp told the prostitute, you bring me X amount of dollars by this time, or I'm going to beat the expletive out of your kid again. You know, it's horrible enough to say that I'm going to beat out of your kid, right, but I'm going to beat the out of your kid again. I mean, you know, I thought those kinds of horrors took place. I guess that they took place in like third world countries, but I never imagined that they took place in the United States, let alone in Kansas, let alone my hometown of Wichita. You know, just a few miles from where we live, that is happening, but it is.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you go and you talk about this stuff. It's hard enough to listen to, let alone, you know, be ministering to these people who are having a seizure for seeing a dog kennel. What is something that you feel like has really sunk in, as far as whether that's your faith walk or a life lesson, something that has really, really been driven home for you since you've started working with Hope Ranch, of just wisdom, you know, of what does life look like? And maybe you already said it, but.
Well, I think for one thing for me is just how blessed and how grateful that I should be because of the life that I have lived, and I have not had to experience the level of trauma that these women that we are working with, you know, have. And then how incredible it is to see the healing take place and to see the life change that takes place and to go, you know, if they can work through that much trauma and find peace and healing and hope and rest, then good grief, what I'm going through. Come on, John. You know, God can take care of you too. It's not that big of a deal compared to that level that they are experiencing. And so I think for me, that's one of the things I've learned is just the reality of growing in my trust and dependence upon God. And I think it's also a reality for me just in the role that I'm in as executive director, in always seeking out funding for this ministry, is that this is God's, you know, God's heart is for women who have been broken and are hurting and suffering. And so God's going to provide, God's going to take care. I need to do my part, but I need to trust that God's going to provide.
So when I just have to imagine, that your view of God has just grown by seeing what women have come from and graduating and getting a scholarship, going to school, and they're going to build a real life. I mean, that's like that is such a worthy cause. And I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm just saying that yesterday I was driving in my car and it just occurred to me, or the thought came to mind of like, is our view of God grows, it solves so many problems. And, but yeah, that has to be just so expanding for you I don't care what ministry you're doing before, but like coming to this, I mean, that is pure evil, having consumed somebody and spit them out to life.
Yeah, it is. And so it's always an awesome thing to witness the life change and to go, wow, thank you, God. You know, and I think another thing kind of ties with what you just said in a previous question, you know, as far as how my life is different. You know, I've been a pastor and involved in church work for, like I said, most of my adult life. And it's easy to get inward focused, you know, and just think about us as a group of people in the church. Or if you're not a faith-based person, it's easy for you to get inward focused with the people in where you work, you know, or your friends or the people that your neighborhood that you're close to, your neighbors, immediate neighbors, or your family. It's just so easy for all of us as individuals to kind of put the shades on our eyes as to the darkness that's really happening in the world around us. And so for me, what this experience has done in this leadership role for me is taken the shades off to look beyond what I am comfortable with and to say, now, what can I do to make a difference and to help? And I think that's really a huge lesson for us that we have to do as folks who have grown up in a fairly normal, healthy environment, is to say, okay, let's take the blinders off of our eyes and let's just take a moment to see the darkness in this world. And then say, not anymore. Pick a cause, you know. I don't care whether it's, you know, homelessness, whether it's hunger, whether, you know, obviously I hope that people listening would say, yeah, we want to go against this trafficking reality that's going on. But pick a cause and then stand up to it and make a difference. I met with a business leader recently to talk about supporting our banquet coming up as a corporate sponsor. And he said, John, I have no doubt that he's going to say yes and he's going to help us. But he said, John, here's the reality. Just in the Wichita area alone, there is a church or a nonprofit for every 106 people in the city. I mean, that is a ton. And so, you know, his response to me was, John, there's just a ton of need out there. And we need more people to engage, to help out these nonprofits that are doing such a good help for our community. And so, yeah, so I would say to the listeners here, just take the blinders off, pick a cause, get involved.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing that comes to mind is, so I have a friend, he was a sheriff's deputy, and he did work like South Broadway hotels or Southern, you know, Wichita trafficking hotspots. And he was able to describe a little bit more of the organizational structure in different ways. But man, he hated this. He worked in it directly, and it was difficult for him to take care of himself. And he, at this point, he's left the force because it was too hard in different ways. And so extreme examples help us learn things. I am curious, what do you do to take care of yourself? Because you're in this stuff daily.
Yeah, I'm honestly, maybe I should be more concerned about myself, but I'm more concerned for my staff than I am for myself, because I'm not facing this level of trauma every day and walking with the women through it personally.
Yeah.
My staff are.
Okay.
You know, I'm more in the community, building, you know, relationships, raising funds, doing podcasts like this, raising awareness, you know, that sort of thing. Okay. So, but we do, in fact, we're a part of a National Trafficking Sheltered Alliance group, and one of the pushes that they're saying nationally right now is to executive directors like myself, they're saying you need to do more to help your staff work through the secondary trauma that they are facing, because they're hearing these stories day in and day out, every moment of every day that they're working with them. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to figure out, is what can we do? You know, so we provide counseling for our staff at no cost to them. We are looking at other ways to help provide resources and help them to be able to get breaks from just from hearing the stories all the time. Yeah.
I imagine it's got to be a learning curve to some extent on how do you even combat the secondary trauma.
Right. Yeah.
I can't, because if I was in, I mean, I can't really put myself in their shoes because I just, unless you're doing it, you have no idea. But I would have to imagine there's this, so we've been going through a devotional deal daily. I mean, I'm not perfect on it, so I have to catch up here and there. But one of the points he made in there about anger, and this is going through some Proverbs stuff, was, how do you put it? It was so good. I should have had, I didn't think to pull it up. Anyways, it was so good, but it focused in on righteous anger is actually healthy. So to be angry at the things that go directly against God's glory. But we often confuse things that we want for things that God wants. And but bathing in that righteous, hopefully not bathing, but like I would think that stirs up righteous anger, listening to these stories and doing that on a ongoing basis, can't imagine that that is helpful. So that's easy to care for yourself.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And yeah, there are times when you know, my wife is our community director. And so I hear a lot more stories because of, you know, the fact that we're talking all the time. And so, but there are times when, yeah, either of us or a residential director will just get so angry and frustrated with how could a parent do that? You know, how could a dad stand by and watch that happen to his daughter? And but we've got to learn, you know, probably similarly with other leadership positions, the higher you get, you know, in an organization, that you've got to learn to be able to just separate away from that in order for you to experience your own peace and healing and to be able to further have impact in the organization that you're with, you know? And so I think that's why I really, you know, push our staff, make sure you're taking your vacation time, make sure you're getting away, allowing yourself some time to breathe and not be controlled by the angst of what you're feeling within.
Yeah. Yeah, even hearing the examples, which is just a couple of them today, it's so hard to listen to and believe that that is going on. And I mean, I live a pretty insulated life. Obviously, there's always opportunities to do things you shouldn't do, but I'm not living in an environment that's anywhere that I'm aware of that is nearby to any of that stuff that's going on. And so it is hard to comprehend that and hard to believe that that's what's going on. Because if you don't live around it, you don't hear about it. You're like, well, maybe it is, but I have no awareness. But I guess this is part of why I invited you on here too, is to help those that aren't aware of the realities that these women are facing. What's the average age that victim goes into sex trafficking or is pulled into it? Sorry, yeah, I didn't form that
sure,
well.
Sure, no. And, you know, there's all sorts of numbers that are given out there. And a lot of it is hard to answer because things go so unreported that we really don't know. You know, so it, certainly minor trafficking is huge and is, I think, the biggest launching pad for trafficking to take place. But it happens with all ages.
And from what I've heard you talk about, it happens to a vulnerable population where whether it's a parent that feels like they have to use what they or their kids have to offer to get by in life, to survive. So they fall into this trap of making trades, or there's a young person that they are given drugs for the first time whether they knew it or not. And then they get them hooked and they get them out of their community and they are now just in a new life and they have no idea what's going on and no control, but they're in it.
Yeah, you know, we think of trafficking more like the Hollywood version of Pretty Woman, the movie that was out, you know, with or we think of the crud, I can't think of the other one, where Liam Nielsen, that isn't right.
Neeson.
I knew that was the wrong guy.
Taken?
Got Taken, yeah. You know, where his daughter's kidnapped. And certainly those stories are true and those things happen. But again, they're not the most popular. They're, I hate to say that word, they're popular, but they're not the most common, you know. It's more, again, familial is the number one. It's also survivor sex. A pimp that pretends to fall in love with a girl and she now believes that she's being valued and cared for, and then once he has manipulated her enough, he's able to switch that and then to use her.
So it's not necessarily being taken out of a community, although that happens.
Correct. Yeah.
So there's a lot more that's going on that is not necessarily visible, but
a lot more that's going on that is not visible.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And again, most victims do not report. So it's hard again to give an accurate number because we just don't know.
So you've got a banquet coming up. You have different ways of fundraising. You've got Tim Tebow coming into town to talk. And I presume his wife's going to come as well.
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's
so just, it's not Tim. Like a Pompeo deal.
It's not a Pompeo deal.
You didn't.
It's more like a Huckabee deal.
Okay. I only ask. So my wife, Stephanie, is South African.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's awesome.
And Tim Tebow's wife is South African.
Yes.
And she's also Miss Universe.
Right. Yeah. So wife was Miss Universe. Is that right?
She's my Miss Universe.
Okay.
So we have that in common. We each have a Miss Universe.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, but no, I was curious. I was like, hey, is this another Pompeo 2-for-1 or,
I wish it was, but no, yeah, it's just Tim coming in. So,
yeah. But he does a lot of great work in the nonprofit space. And
he does. And his foundation, one of the big things with his foundation is helping to this fight against trafficking.
Yes. So. Yep. I saw one of his messages go out fundraising for South Africa, some of the different organizations that are working there on trafficking. And I can't remember the list, but there were several. Does a lot. So I hear your plea to get involved, whatever your mission is, whatever your passion is, however you want to serve, get involved. What do you think that does for somebody, whether you're speaking from personal experience or the change you've seen in others, when they get involved in a project, in a passionate organization, a cause to serve and be selfless? What kind of effect do you see that happening?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different factors to that. I mean, just from a non-faith perspective, it helps to change your worldview and makes you more broader to the reality of what life is like. And so I think it can make us more content, more sense of that you are making a difference in the world. And so I think that is a reality too. From a faith perspective, there's been some research shown that over the years, what has had the most impact in a person's faith journey and helping them to continue to grow is serving. It's not necessarily Bible study or being in a small group. You know, it's the actual being the hands and feet of Jesus and serving other people. That's what makes your faith grow as well. And so I think there's both sides of that, certainly I hope all of us want our faith journey to grow. And so serving does that. And it also helps us to feel more content and peace about life because we're helping others. We're not just thinking about ourselves. We're not just being selfish, but we're pursuing trying to help other people out and help other people grow.
What's it done for you?
Well, it's done both of those things for me. Certainly my, the glasses were taken off when I started with Hope Ranch to seeing the reality. I had no idea the level of darkness. I mean, the level of manipulation, the level of physical beating that happens to women who are being trafficked to break them down. And so I just, this whole level of darkness of human trafficking, I was not aware of it all. And so it has definitely awakened that within me and stirred within me a righteous anger, you know, to say, this has to stop. And so that's been a huge reality for me in my life.
So we've been going now for a while on a really intense topic. Is it okay if we close the book for a second
sure.
on that and let's switch over maybe to a little bit lighter if that's doable.
Okay.
Okay. So I have some questions for you personally. What was maybe a really key lesson you learned in life? So just general life wisdom, great lesson learned.
But one of the good lessons for me that I've learned is just not to take anything for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of jobs over my life, adult life. And, you know, each time I kind of thought, okay, this is it. I can rest on some level and this is going to, I'm going to stay here till I die, you know, that kind of thing. And not that I would relax. Yeah, I still pushed hard. But I kind of felt like I was at a good spot, and it was gonna. That was the good thing for me, and then the door would close. And so I think on some level, just not becoming complacent or comfortable, but at the same time, as I say that, this is gonna sound like an oxymoron. Don't become complacent or comfortable, but yet at the same time, relax and rest because God's got this. Every time that I lost a position, God opened the door to another one. And so God provided and God took care of us every time. And so both of those two sides of the coin are there of, working hard, but yet not thinking that you've got your act together now. You know, or that you've arrived, or that this is the place where you're going to be, and yet trusting God's going to provide. That would be a huge lesson learned for me. Another lesson learned for me would again be this, like I mentioned earlier, that heaven really is home. The freedom that I can have in life when I am confident and resting in the fact that God has this and that God's in control and that I don't have to worry about all of the intricacy things that are going on because I was made for more than this. God created me to live in a perfect world. God created Adam and Eve to live in a perfect world. And then, obviously, the fall happened, and so...
Didn't take long.
It didn't take long, yeah, no. But God created us as human beings to live in a place that we are not living in now. And so of course, nothing here is going to satisfy because we weren't created to live in this world as it is now. But the reality then that heaven is home means Someday I'm going to be living in a place where I was created for. And that's what life is all about, is moving towards that point and helping other people see that as well.
Right. Yeah, we get to do the redeeming work. We can live in community rightly. There's a lot of things we can do to experience bits and pieces of it. Who would you consider is a mentor of yours? Or has been a mentor?
Sure. So for me, the probably one of the most significant life changes that happened in my life was when I went through the counseling program and got my master's in counseling. It was through Drs. Larry Crabb and Dan Allender. And
Allender Institute.
The Allender Institute. And so those two men really helped shape my worldview, helped me to understand more of my own heart, my own sinfulness, the hidden agendas going on beneath the surface in my conversations and what I was thinking and pursuing. And so those would be the two biggest mentors in my life. And I would encourage anybody to pick up their books and read them. Inside Out was like written by Larry Crabb.
Not the movie.
Probably 30 years ago. Not the movie, but the book was probably, was hugely instrumental in transforming how I think and how I live life.
Yeah. Yep. So they've got that. They've got, I think, a whole podcast.
They do.
From the Allender Institute.
Yeah. Allender Institute has a podcast, and Larry Crabb, although Larry Crabb has passed away and is in heaven now, but he has his son still has a podcast out called, I think it's The Greater Story or something like that. So, yeah.
I haven't heard of that. I guess I didn't realize you were a counselor before you were a pastor. Was that synonymous or?
Well, I got my Master of Divinity, and then through a strange, I took a couple of elective courses in counseling, and one of them, the main course, it was in front of like 150 students, and it was the one course that Larry Crabb taught that anybody could go into, could be part of the class, whether you're in the counseling program or not. And at one point in the year, Larry was counseling a student in front of the whole class. And in one session, I'll never forget, because Larry was counseling this guy and the guy broke down in tears. And then Larry started crying, and the entire class of 150 people-ish were all crying except for me. And I remember looking around the room, seeing everybody crying. And I go, something is incredibly wrong with 149 people and Larry Crabb, or something is wrong with me. And since it's 149 against one, I'll bet it's something's wrong with me. So I went up to Larry after that class was over with and shared that and started getting counseling for myself, and then went through the counseling program after that.
Was there a future point where you cried with 149 other people?
Well, I've cried many times. Okay. I don't know if it's been with 149 other people, but I certainly, God did a work in my heart in helping me to just work through issues of my past.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, that's hard work. And some of it is almost supernatural.
For sure.
So I've had experiences like that, where I'm pretty reserved and cold, and I've had to do my own work in that space. And because we've all got stuff that we were hurt by at one point or another, and our minds and our bodies and our soul has ways of protecting. And hey, maybe that's part of why you're in the role that you are now, is you've got maybe both sides of that, where you can empathize and also be able to operate.
Yeah, it's just incredible to see how God works things out, because Dan Allender, has lots of books out there. One of them is called Healing the Wounded Heart, which is helping women heal from sexual abuse. And he is now one of the forerunners in therapeutic intervention and work for trauma. And here I am working with women who have experienced significant trauma.
Wow. I think I'm good with that today. Because I feel like if I keep going down the personal side, because I, you listen to the other ones that I've done, and we talk about lighter topics.
I keep on taking us back down the path.
Too. And I'm trying so hard. It's like, how can I lighten this up? But you know what? I don't have to lighten it up. It is what it is. Stephanie and people that know me well know I am dead to rights. I love to lighten things up, and that's my own defense stuff. I'm certain of it, hey, it makes for maybe some good jokes occasionally, but this is a topic that doesn't need lightened up. And, this is a reality that I really hope sinks in without wrecking somebody's day. When they listen to this, and that there is a righteous anger that wells up, where they say, you know what? I can't go busting down a door and do a raid. That's not my profession. I can't, there's so many things that can't be done by me, but I can give. And I can provide the resources that I work hard for, at least a portion of that, and support these women who don't have other people who are looking out for them. They may have the Hope Ranch for Women seeking them out, Jesus seeking them out, but the resources need to come to support the work that needs to be done. Because we talk about, in financial planning, we talk about how expensive extended care is. Somebody needs to go to a member care unit because they need 24/7 care.
Yeah.
This is not only not that different, it's more intense. You have, you guys have to take measures to have some secrecy around where these women are so that people don't come find them out again.
So anyways,
I hope that this podcast, even though it is kind of off the beaten path from what we typically go around, we look at the entrepreneurial side, because you guys started this up. I didn't even really get into that as far as what growing has looked like, other than, you need more funds. You guys have quite the operation going as it is. And the main call to action here, though, is, hey, think about it. Find your cause, as you said, whatever that is, get involved how you can, and let that be transformational, and let that add to the quality and the years of your life.
Absolutely.
Well, John, any closing thoughts for us?
I think I have shared them all.
Okay.
I guess my closing thought would be, like you said, find a passion, engage in it. If you're trying to figure out what that is, then maybe consider coming to our banquet in September. You'll hear stories, you'll hear a challenge for, what it means to get involved and what that could look like. And you'll find out more about who we are and what we're doing to try and make a difference in the Wichita community and beyond.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come in and record, and we can share this, get the word out to hopefully a new crowd. And would you say your website again?
HR4W.com. So HR4W.com. If you can't remember that, you can always go for HopeRanchForWomen.com. Either way, it'll take you to our website.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, John, for the work you're doing. Thank you for sharing. And that'll wrap up another episode of Real Wealth Podcast, sponsored by Leading Edge Financial Planning, here with John Olsey, representing Hope Ranch for Women.